plan for tonight is to speak about a very important topic in the world of halacha, in the world of hashkafa. As I believe Rav Hendler had a meeting today about the trip to Poland, we will, Be'ezras Hashem, speak a little bit tonight about that and some other related issues. There is a lot of discussion, at least in certain seaboards, as to the precise the status of taking certain kinds of trips, in particular taking trips to Poland. There's discussion, we spoke about a couple of years ago, taking trips to Uman, going to Uman for Rosh Hashanah is a big discussion, not only in the world of Breslov, but also in other communities as that's become more popular, those that have questioned that a little bit. A lot of discussion about where a person ideally should and shouldn't be going, what's considered to be an appropriate trip, what's considered not to be an appropriate trip, and some of the issues in particular that relate to Poland, Germany, and other such areas. I want to start by giving a little bit of a background. I then want to sort of shift from some of the halachic background to discuss in a more specific way some of the issues that are brought up, in particular in a variety of poskim in the religious Zionist world, then speak about the perspective of the Lubavitcher Rebbe and some more in the world of Torah HaChassidus. So let's get started. In general, the Gemara tells us in a couple of different places that there is an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. That there's an Isser to, we have certain kinds of limitations and where we can and where we can't go. And one of those things is an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. What's the rationale behind that Isser? Is that, you know, in your honor, one of the, part of the rationale behind that, this is the Rashban writes in Baba Basra, Shmafkia Atzmo Min HaMitzvot, that a person in Eretz Yisrael has a capacity to perform more mitzvot, and if someone leaves Eretz Yisrael, so by definition, they're not going to be able to keep all the mitzvot HaTluyos Ba'aretz. They won't be able to keep a lot of what happens out there in what happens in Eretz Yisrael. Other Rishonim seem to indicate a different pshat, that you're leaving a place of heightened Kedusha, that a person who's in Eretz Yisrael is in a place of heightened Kedusha, is in a place which is a little bit holier, and therefore it becomes inappropriate to leave a place that is holier for a place that is, I don't know, I'm not sure where, but a place that would be less holy. However, again, some of the background, that's why there's a lot of discussion, not so much from these trips when they occur from Chutz La'aretz and then you're going to Poland, but a trip like this where you're going from Eretz Yisrael, so this is part of the issue that some of the posts can talk about, this notion of leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. When are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz? When is that okay? So that is a machlokas Rishonim. There are a lot of different shittas out there. I'm going to focus on just two of the shittas of Rishonim, the shittas of the Rambam, and a discussion in Tovos Masechta Avodah Zarah. Again, there are other discussions out there, but we're just going to focus for our purposes on those two Rishonim. The Rambam writes Hilchos Malachim, Asur Latzeis Me'aretz Yisrael L'Chutz La'aretz L'Olam. Now that L'Olam is a very important L'Olam, whether the Isser is really only if you're planning on staying in Chutz La'aretz, which you know could also potentially be a bit of an issue. Asur Latzeis Me'aretz Yisrael L'Chutz La'aretz L'Olam. Ella, when can I go? So it's based on Chazal, based on the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. Ella lilmo Torah o lisa isha. You can leave Eretz Yisrael lilmo Torah to go learn Torah in Chutz La'aretz. You can leave lisa isha. You can go to get married. Ola hatzal min ha'akam v'yachshal aretz v'chein yotzehu l'schora. Other reasons also. You can go for parnasa. You can go to make a living. All those things are okay. Aval lishkon v'chutz la'aretz aser. But you can't really settle in Chutz La'aretz, says the Rambam, unless there is a real famine or some kind of a need. For the Rambam, I can't leave Eretz Yisrael for any mitzvah. I can only leave Eretz Yisrael for very specific purposes. Lilmo Torah, Lisa Isha, Parnasa, etc. But other than that, there really isn't that much of a heter. If you look in Tobos and Avodah Zarah, you find a different shita. Tobos and Avodah Zarah writes, maybe dafka l'motor lisa isha, similar to the Rambam, dafka b'hanach mitzvos shehin chashuvos, those mitzvahs like learning Torah is a very chashuv mitzvah, Talmud Torah can I get kulam, the very chashuv mitzvah of lisa isha, the pasuk in Yeshaya, lo sebrara of Shabbos Yotra, the mitzvah of populating the world, these are very chashuv mitzvahs, maybe dafka for those mitzvahs I can leave Eretz Yisrael, but of all the shar mitzvahs lo, like the Rambam, any stam mitzvah, you can't just leave Eretz Yisrael whenever you want to leave Eretz Yisrael. The question of whether you're chayev to move to Eretz Yisrael from Chutz La'aretz is one kind of question. A Ramban, more of a mitzvah chiyuvis, the Rambam shita, not so clear what the Rambam exactly holds, a mitzvah chiyuvis, but a different mitzvah, a mitzvah chiyumis, with a different shita as far as the shita's a Rambam. But once you're in Eretz Yisrael, now you have another problem, which is the issue of leaving. Why can I leave? Rambam so far, Tosfos, only for certain specific situations, like Lomo Torah, Lisa Isha, etc. However, Tosfos quotes the opinion of the She'iltos. And the She'iltos offers a different view. The She'iltos writes, Aval b'She'iltos Rav Achai mefurash hanach dekili. No. When Chazal says you can go to learn, or you can leave Eretz Yisrael to get married, those aren't more chamor mitzvahs, those are more mekel mitzvahs. As this man comes to a conclusion, we let you in on that secret. Talmud Torah, pretty relatively mekel kind of a mitzvah. Getting married, sounds like a little bit, says the She'iltos, if those two are okay, so kol shekein, for a regular mitzvah, you can come and you can leave Eretz, and you can leave Eretz Yisrael. One more mar makom is to give us some of the halachic background. Rav Kook in Tshuva's Mishpat Kohen. So Rav Kook has Tshuva. We, Bederach Klal, are a bit more familiar with Rav Kook as far as his writings in Machshava. Rav Kook also published Tshuvas. His Tshuvas are not quoted so frequently outside of very specific tzibors. One of the tzibors, obviously, Rav Kook's quoted a lot, is in the Tzioni Tzibor here in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Kook's Tshuvas become very important because many of the people in this community view themselves not direct Talmidim, but Talmidim of Talmidim, Talmidim of his son, and therefore the approach of Rav Kook is going to be a very important shita. This tshuva of Rav Kook and Mishpat Kohen is Rav Kook's comments on the Sefer Shtei Chemed. Sefer Shtei Chemed is a very important sefer, sort of like a very important reference work on different areas of Torah. And the Shtei Chemed quotes, again, a lot of different achronim. The Shtei Chemed maintains that you are also allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for the following reason. To daven at Kivrei Tzadikim. Daven at Kivrei Tzadikim is a good enough reason, says the Shtei Chemed, to leave Eretz Yisrael. So, you want to have a trip. You want to go. You see, if you look at like the right blogs sometimes, you'll see pictures of this Rebbe that's going out to, Kever Avos, wherever it is. You can see that sometimes. Because Shtei Chemed holds, you can leave Eretz Yisrael to go daven at Kivrei Tzadikim. Rav Kook in his Tshuva writes, he wrote Kasa de Mutter, Sechemer wrote the Mutter Lalati Bet Yisrael, Chutzar, Zashadim Kibbet Tzadikim, Mitzachi, Mitzvah Rabba, it's a great mitzvah to go Kibbet Tzadikim. Cesar Kukul, and he has Daiti Tzarechi and Tuva, I'm not sure this is true. The Nehisha Matsinu Bekalev, it's true that Kalev did go in Davin, the Gemara Mesach HaSota, Viavo Ad Chevron, that Kalev went and Kalev Davin at Marasamach Pela, he Davin there, can you help me out? From Atas Maragim, can you help me out to be able to succeed in my job as a spy for Klal Yisrael, and you find other Ma'amari Chazal also telling us about davening by Kivrei Tzadikim. The Minchas Alav, the Minchas Rebbe, has a long tshuva about this. Avavada, he says, but who says the mitzvah, Rav Kook says, is so important that mitzvah is going to trump the Isser of leaving Eretz Yisrael? Who says it's so much of a mitzvah? I get Kalev did it. Who says, and then he gives also, how do I even a mitzvah altogether? Shtei Chemed, you're saying going to Kivrei Tzadikim is a mitzvah rabba? I don't even know if it's a mitzvah. Rakshahi toeles. It's beneficial. It's nice. It's effective. It's good. But a mitzvah? Not everything that's beneficial, not everything that's nice is called a mitzvah. Some things are beneficial. It's a wise thing to do. But it's not, strictly speaking, a command. You can't leave Eretz Yisrael for it, says Rav Kook. And then he adds, he's not totally sure about this, but so Taspik Avas Avos Olam Yisheni Chevron as Nitzvah Chotis Alzem Eretz Yisrael Chutzaretz. You gotta go to Kibre Tzadikim. Maris Nachpeila is not a good enough place. Go up north. It's not a good enough place to dive by the Kever of Rashbi, dive by the Kever of the Arizal of Yosef, the Kever of Rabbi Kiva, the Ramchal, the Kever of the Rambam. You have to leave Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kook. Not so pashut. Let's chazer some of the halachic background to position ourselves well, hopefully to have a discussion. There is an isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. Why is there an isser? Machlokas HaRishonim. Is the isser because now I won't be able to mekayem mitzvos? Is the isser because now I'm sort of removing myself from a place of heightened kedusha? When am I allowed to leave? Lomo Torah, Lisa Isha, for sure. Parnasa, the Rambam adds, that's also good. When am I, when Machlokas, Rambam, Tosfos, against the Shiltos, what about for other kinds of mitzvahs? How do we categorize one case that comes up? Is the machlokes between the Stechemen and Rav Kook? Can I leave Eretz Yisrael to go daven and can be tzaddikim? What is the status of that? All of that is necessary in halachic background for having a discussion about trip to Poland. Trip to Poland. We're going to see a couple of things. I want to discuss one other halachic issue, and I want to show the way that poskim talk about it. The way they talk about it, I think, gives us a lot of insight, the da'ati, for issues far more significant than just the question about going to Poland, important as it is, and wonderful as I'm sure that trip will be. The one discussion we have to have is a post-Holocaust discussion. Post-Holocaust, this is Stam, an interesting issue. Tshuvas kol mivaser. Rav Avadya quotes his tshuva in a couple of different contexts, once in Chavadas, once in Yabia Omer. There was a movement by various Rabbanim, Stam, good to know, a bit of an aside, post-World War II, we know that the Torah asers, we have an Isser to go to Mitzrayim. There's an Isser to live in Mitzrayim, or the Leibowitz, I believe, is a big fan of that, I think when he goes to America sometimes, he likes to give share on that topic, the Isser of going to Mitzrayim. There's also a potential Cheirim on going to Spain. Rav Avadya has tshuva about both of those. He has tshuva about going to Mitzrayim, that's Nechavadas. That was a tshuva about journalists that wanted to go down to Egypt, whether that's okay or it's not okay, a long discussion about that. The former Rosh Hashiva, Rav Avidan, has a long discussion about this in the Sefer Hilchos Malachim. Rav Avadya has another tshuva about going to Spain. Was there a Cheirim going to Spain? He was invited to go to Spain. He did go, I believe, and that's, I think, at the end of the tshuva. Discussions about that. There was a movement to place a gzeira on Klal Yisrael to never go back to Germany after World War II. A variety of Rabbanim wanted to establish a cheirim, and to go back to those areas was something which was totally inappropriate. That we should never want to go back there. The way that we were treated there, the way that what happened to us there, we should be done with it, and we should just move on. There was such a movement. In Tshuvas Kol HaMevaser, so he writes, source number 6, Al davar shutza bevi'idas at Rabbanim, lahakras cheirim mitam Rabbani Haaretz. If all the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael have a cheirim, that's aser l'chol Yehudi lidroch al admas Garmania, to have an iser for Jews to walk on German land. V'kama Rabbanim hiskimu l'hatzah. A variety of Rabbanim said, taka, we should do it. Says the Kol Mevaser, amna mitar ha'shkafah ha'politit ha'hegyoniyot v'ha'musarit. As far as ethics, morality, a certain kind of worldview. So dekas me'od hatzah, I hear it totally. How can a Jew want to go back there? He happens to think, al pi din, there you cannot establish such a cheirim to go back. Why can't I establish a cheirim to go back? He gives two reasons. Reason number one, we do not, quote the Rosh, Mesechus Shabbos, the Rosh and Mesechus Nida, we do not have the power nowadays to establish a cheirim like that. We can't prohibit it. We don't have the koach to do it. Reason number two, it's a gzeira she'ein hatzibor yachol la'amod ba, gemar mesach sabot zara. You can never establish a gzeira people can't keep. This is a gzeira that people can't keep. People can't keep it. He points out there, it's discussed, people couldn't keep the gzeira not to go to Spain, not to go to Mitzrayim. It was too hard. People are for sure going to have to go back. People have property there. People have possessions there. There's no way it could be done. We should not establish such a cheirim. No cheirim is really established like that. All of that, again, is just some background. Let's talk about the case. These trips to Poland are very popular by different communities. They're very popular in the Dati Lumi community in Eretz Yisrael. A lot of Dati Lumi high schools make the trip to Poland. Did you go? Shmuel, did you go? Which grade? 12? And that's when they go usually? Can you tell you about?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Great to see you also. Felt more authentic with, although, you know, also good. That there's it's very popular in the Dati Lumi community in Eretz Yisrael in 12th grade to go to visit. We referenced before, it's very popular in certain Hasidus, it's very, very popular to go. Obviously, Breslov, Rosh Hashanah time, obviously, other Hasidus, you know, to go to on the Yerushalayim of Noam HaMelech. It's a very big time when people go to his kever. From Chutz La'aretz also, you see it. Heritage, you know, from here in this seaboard, March of the Living, as far as, you know, people from North America who are going to Eretz Yisrael, who are going to visit in Poland. If you look in like different magazines, you see all the time there are trips that are going back to Europe and the like. It's something that's very, very popular. And the poskim talk about it. And the way they talk about it, I think, is very interesting. We're going to focus really on, primarily on the Dati Lumi community, how they relate to it, because I think it's interesting and thought-provoking, how they view the question, And we'll speak a little bit about how Chabad views the issue of going to Poland. I think two different views that I think reflect very different orientations. In the Dati Lumi community, if you look at source number 8, 9, 10, well, let's go like this. You have a bit of a range in this tzibur. Rav Aviner is one of the ones who is most adamant about the how it is halachically usser to leave Eretz Yisrael to go on one of these trips. Why is it usser to go on one of these trips? Rav Aviner here quotes three reasons. He thinks either one on their own independently is good enough. Reason number one, an isser to latzeis l'chutz aretz. It's an isser to leave Eretz Yisrael for that purpose. Rav Dov Lior in Tshuva's Devar Chevra writes similarly. He quotes this tshuva of Rav Kook. Rav Kook thought you can't leave for Kibbutz Tzadikim. There's no way you could leave for these trips either. That's, again, the influence and the impact of Rav Kook. You can't go. We'll look at the impact again in a second, a different angle. Second, you should ein lefarnes esa polanim. You should not be mefarnes the Polish citizens. They took part with the Nazis in killing so many of our ancestors, so many, and it would be inappropriate. It'd be inappropriate to come along and to be mefarnes them by going there. The third thing, this is a sensitive point, which I think is very nice. Pamim rabos beglah haliosak v'host. Sometimes it costs a lot of money, and it's hard because there are some students who have more money who are able to go, some with less money who are not able to go, and that's something which also Rav Aviner views as somewhat challenging, although again, different places, different ways of exactly dealing with that. In that sense, for many, again, for Rav Aviner of W, it's a halachic question. Usser Lutzes or not Usser Lutzes. Others keep it in the halacha category, but view it a little bit differently. There is a heter, the heter of Lilmot Torah. The heter of Lilmot Torah, can I go there in order to learn Torah? What's that called? Says Rav Dov Lior, for example, there's no heter to go there to learn Torah. You can learn Torah here just fine. It doesn't mean anytime you want to go to Chutz La'aretz, just bring a sefer with you and learn there and call that Lilmot Torah. Says Rav Dov Lior, there's no purpose in going there. There's no purpose. What, now, Dov Lior, remember this, is a Holocaust survivor. So when he writes about this, he's not writing someone that, he's writing as someone who's very much invested in this question. Don't go. Don't go. You want to go so you can learn what anti-Semitism is? There are a lot of good books about anti-Semitism. Dov Lior does not think you have to leave Eretz Yisrael to have an understanding of what anti-Semitism is. And, you know, there's what to say for that. Others, though, maintain. If you look in Rav Yaakov Ariel, in source number 10, Rav Yaakov Ariel, Im yesh to'elas chinuchis b'nesiyah l'Poland, hi muteres. Im lo, hi asura. If it has educational value, then it's totally mutter. If it has educational value, that's part of Lilmot Torah. There's no iser whatsoever. Part of the question in Dati Lumi Poskim is, and I think this is a broader issue of a lot of significance, what do I view as being educationally valuable? What can I do long distance? And what do I actually have to partake in to be able to really experience? From the perspective of Rav Dov Lior, there's no need to go, because you can experience it from a distance. Go to Yad Vashem, like many did this past Friday. Go to Yad Vashem, and when you go to Yad Vashem, you'll be able to, you'll get the impact, you'll get the Hisoros, you'll learn whatever you need to learn. Others maintain there may be enormous educational value. Rav Elazar Melamed, the author of Pinyan Halacha, writes similarly, that if there's educational value, so for sure it's okay. That part of the question is, how do I determine what's called educational value? What's called value? When is the experience important? When is the experience not so important? Sometimes in our learning, we can experience this in different ways. The difference between, again, for some, you can, when is learning, reading about it in the book, and reading about it long distance considered to be effective? And when do you actually have to partake in it? When you have to become part of it? You can learn or read everything that there is to read about a tish, or about the beauty of a niggun or a kumzitz. But sometimes you have to be there to experience it, to achieve the full educational value. The full educational value. Part of the question, which impacts, again, It's an assessment which impacts the halacha. You can leave Eretz Yisrael for Talmud Torah purposes. Part of the question is, what do I call this? Is this called a Talmud Torah value or not? That's something which is very, very important. I think it highlights a certain tension between encountering things from a book, encountering things from a distance, and being there on the ground, and having the power of experience that. There are two other issues. There are two other issues that Dati Lumi Post can bring up as far as points of hesitation. Points of hesitation. One point is Nekudah of Shmuel Elio. He maintains, I'm nervous about this kind of educational value. He thinks this is an educational value that comes through the negative instead of through the positive. You're looking at destruction instead of looking at rebuilding. I would rather, he says, educate through positive means. Educate through exposure to wonderful things. Instead of educating through exposure to tragedy, calamity, destruction. If this is what you need to do, that's called educational value, but not ideally what I would want. Rav Yuval Sherlo has another issue, and this is a classic Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook kind of an issue. One of the biggest questions in 20th century Jewish thought, one of the biggest questions that Klal Yisrael has struggled with in the last 60 years is what was the message? I'll say the question, what do we take away from the Holocaust? What do you take away from the destruction of 6 million? Do I take away from there? I'll say things that, you know, am I the Satmar Rebbe and I take away from there conclusive proof that Zionism is terrible, that was what was responsible for it? Do I take away the opposite, that there wasn't enough Zionism for you to cook? There wasn't enough of a connection to Eretz Yisrael, and that's what we're doing. Do I take away the message of Rav Salvechik and Koldi Dofek? Do I take away a message of Rav Avadia or some other Sephardi post? There are a lot of different perspectives that you could take on this issue. In the thought of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, the message of the Holocaust, by and large, is we're done. We're done with that world, and we're focused on Geula. We're done focusing on the world of Gullus, and we are shifting towards a focus on the world of redemption. And the way that you focus on the world of redemption is by being future, focusing on the future, and a bit less focused on the past. Rav Yuval Sherlo says on the educational value end, the educational value is less focusing, we'd be focusing on the future and not focusing much on the past. You have a bit of a machlokas in the Dati Lumi postgame, we'll get into our case in a little bit, about this Isser Lotzis Me'aretz Yisrael. Rav Kook, Kivrei Tzadikim, you can't do it. On the other hand, you have discussions all about, maybe does it have educational value? How do we determine what's called educational value? Positive and uplifting as opposed to destruction and calamity. Or looking towards the future and rebuilding or focusing on the past. Those are all questions raised by various Dati Lumi Poskim. Let's shift to the world of Chabad for a little bit before we discuss a bit more Lemaisa, the trip that at least I think some of us are going to be going on. The Rebbe and Poland. Sometimes I have a hard time finding some of the actual Mekoros on this, and I apologize for it. Some of the stuff is Mipi HaShmua. Some of the stuff here is quoted with number 11 in an article. Chabad, the Rebbe sent Shlichim to lots of different places. To lots of different places. For many, many years, one of the places where Chabad did not have a Shliach was in Poland. Why did Chabad not send a Shliach to Poland? So if you look in number 11, when the Rebbe was asked to send a Shliach to Poland in 1989, he declined, supposedly saying that Jewish community should not be reestablished where so much suffering occurred. Lubavitch Rebbe had a certain hesitation when it came to Poland, because from the Lubavitch Rebbe's perspective, there's something to be said for maybe a certain distance away from Poland. It happens to be true that many Chabadnikim were involved on some level in Poland, but they had no official former Shliach. However, a bunch of years ago, in 2005, things changed. The first official Chabad-based Chabad is established in Poland. Why is it established in Poland? The Rebbe didn't want it to happen. One of the challenges which you find in the world of the Talmidim of Rav Kook, and in the world of Chabad also, it's true in the world of Breslov, when your primary leader passes away, and you have to figure out years later, what would he have said about a particular circumstance? Would he have changed his mind? Some question, is that even the right question? Or should we move on and say, what do today's leaders hold? Let's give a couple examples about this. You have that with the Rav in the modern Orthodox community. What would the Rav have said about so many contemporary issues? Things that were not around then, what would the Rav have said at times changed? In the Tilumi world, you have a great one with Rav Kook. Rav Kook held a famous psak of Rav Kook. It was usher for women to vote. Women can't vote. He was opposed to women voting. You have discussions with Yaakov Ariel and others. Would Rav Kook have changed his mind nowadays? If Rav Kook becomes the ultimate person for your community, so what would he have said? And that becomes the question for Rav Dov Lior. What would Rav Kook, who thought you can't leave for Kibbutz Tzaddikim, what would Rav Kook have said about here? If you're a Chabadnik, you have a very similar question. Your leader, he's not available. You can't ask him questions. What exactly am I supposed to do? So part of that discussion is trying to figure out what would he say? What would he say? And here, Chabadnik, sometimes things are going to shift. So Yaakov Ariel can say, even though Kook was opposed to women voting, early 20th century, but now for sure he'd say they could vote. Or, in this particular case, when they quote, I asked Rabbi Stambler the same question I asked the temporary shluchim, how can you go against the Rebbe's wisdom? The Rebbe said not to have an official shliach there, how can you do it? And the answer that they gave was, no, if the Rebbe was around now, he would have. Because what was the Rebbe's ultimate value? What's going to impact whether he is or isn't going to do something? That impact is going to be a question of where are the masses, where is the community, where can I fulfill a certain tafket? And as a community, now the community is beginning to flourish, the Jewish community in Poland was beginning to grow a little bit, with many Jews returning to their roots and others even coming to live in Poland's Meretz Yisrael, there is now a need that was not evident when the Rebbe made a statement. Two different questions, two different issues relating to the question, let's say, of Poland, the question, we'll talk about some of the other, areas in a little bit. For the world of many of the Tilumi poskim, by virtue of their being in Eretz Yisrael, the primary question is going to be a question of Aser Latzeis Me'Eretz Yisrael, the Chinuch value, the impact of the Holocaust, a certain focus now on future, a certain focus now on Eretz Yisrael. If you're a Chabadnik, the primary distinction, Lubavitch Rebbe and Tzvi Yehuda both understood the Holocaust was supposed to usher in and get us focused on Geula. And that we have to be active participants in trying to bring that Geula. What was the difference between them? This is one of the more fascinating Hashkafic differences to understand communities and why things are structured the way they are. What was the chilek between them? For Tzvi Yehuda, the way that you actively try and bring Geula is by going and building Eretz Yisrael. That's how you do it. That's why the focus on Eretz Yisrael. That's why someone's focus on Eretz Yisrael. That's why some of the opposition to the going to Chutz La'aretz. In the thought of Chabad, you have to bring in Geula. It's also bringing. That's also part of the message of the Holocaust. And you have to be active participants in trying to bring Geula. But how do you bring redemption? The way you bring redemption to the masses is by redeeming individual Jews. The way you bring redemption to Klal Yisrael is by interacting with Jews wherever they happen to be in this world and trying to help them be mekayim more and more mitzvos. Part of the motivation behind mitzvah, getting people to light Neir Shabbos, getting people to wear tefillin and the like, is the understanding that you bring redemption to the masses by bringing redemption to individuals. The focus is a bit less on the exclusive Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, from the Chabad perspective, part of the question becomes, when you're talking about Poland, where do I rebuild? How do I rebuild? Are there Jews there who need us? Then it must be the Rebbe would have said it was okay. There's a certain tzaddik from last generation, everyone's from a Talmud of his, that when the tzaddik would go to Poland, even though he would stop by Kibbutz Tzaddikim, he'd always say, I'm going to Poland for the living, not for the dead. That there are still Jews here. And there are still Jews here that I have to try to uplift. There are still Jews here that I have to try, to the best of my ability, to try to bring a little bit closer. Look at source number 12. It's a nice drush of the Rebbe about the significance of Poland. Poland, he thought, the old, I think, vort used to be that Poland is made up of two words, Po-Lin. Here we're going to stay. Here we're going to stay. And that there's an understanding, and looking at the quotes to the Ramah and the Mariel and some others, that the chashivas of Dafka Poland and that kind of an impact. And the Rebbe was someone involved. That's going to be for him the major question. For him the major question. Datilu Mi, the major question is going to be, significance of Eretz Yisrael, both halachically and hashkafically, that kind of a focus. In the thought of Chabad, it's going to be the question much more of the impact. It's all about looking, even from the Holocaust, it's all about looking as far as what's the message. It's all about trying to build redemption. It's all about trying to bring us to a point of geula. The question is, how exactly I do that? How exactly I do that? What about this kind of a trip is an interesting one. Let me point out a bunch of things just about those who have gone, those who are going, those that one day maybe will go. A couple of things about it. Obviously, as far as the Isser Latzeis Me'eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, the fact that for many of us it is just one stop on the way back to Chutz La'aretz, so that's probably less of a major factor as far as a halachic Isser. Most of us are more or less rooted there. I'll point out a couple of other things I think are very powerful. One, the experiential piece sometimes of seeing this. The experiential piece, I think, is something which is transformative. A lot of information we can learn in books, but there's a lot of information that you can see when you participate in it. The difference between reading about a tish sometimes and being at a tish, reading about a song and hearing that song, and sometimes reading about, you know, in the opposite end, sometimes reading about an event and witnessing some of the things that can be very, very impactful and very, very valuable. It also happens to be, as we have some people in our yeshiva that are in their first week in the army. Benji Lankin spoke very beautifully when we had to think for Shana Bet. Introducing, I think, an important idea. I happen to think it's one of the more important ideas as we shift and think a little bit about Pesach. And maybe we'll just elaborate on it a little bit. Benji spoke about how it was Dafka there in Poland that he was moved to the extent that he decided that he wanted to join the army and make Aliyah and to, you know, shift his life towards more of an Eretz Yisrael focus. Sometimes, we were speaking before about Rav Yuval Sherlo, the looking towards the future and looking for, towards Geula. Sometimes there's nothing as beneficial as looking towards the past. It often helps us build a different kind of future. Sometimes when we look at the past, when we look at things that Klal Yisrael has experienced, it gives us the ability to then reorient ourselves as we build going forward. To know what Klal Yisrael went through is not just important because it's the past, though that may also be very significant. It's also important because of the kind of future it's supposed to build. Because of the kind of future that's supposed to sort of, that we now have the ability to think about. And that's an important shift. It's always true. My wife's grandmother, it's a ha'ara from her, she passed away, I think, like the first year that we were married. A very, very powerful woman. You know, she pointed out, as far as the Seder goes, I think about it every year, it's a very, very simple ha'ara, but I think a very beautiful one. We spend a whole night remembering the past. That's our whole night of Pesach. Our whole night is a Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. But all of that memory culminates at the end with the Lashon Haba, Yerushalayim. We're not a people that remember things just because the past was important. We're people that remember a past because it's supposed to alter our future. We're people that remember the past. We remember Yetzias Mitzrayim so that we can then be inspired and appreciate more what we're saying. When at the end of that Seder we say, Lashana Haba Yerushalayim, may we be Zocha to experience what Yerushalayim is all about. There's a lot to talk about. A lot of studim lekan ulekan as far as going and not going. I remember when I was Shana Aleph, there was some, my father is really not so into this stuff. My mother a bit more into it. There are a lot of cheshbonos, obviously a lot of financial cheshbonos, a lot of educational questions, and maybe even some halachic ones. To be able to, whatever a person's going, a person's not going, for whatever reason, to remember as we shift a little bit, focusing on our past as, you know, Nisan, we're within Shloshim Yom, we're within Shloshim Yom of Pesach, we're starting to orient ourselves. Much as we focus on the past, often the past can inform our future, and the way we look at the past is going to impact things. In the world of Tzvi Yehuda, I'm looking at the past, it's going to impact, so now I got to be more forward thinking. The message of the Holocaust, let's build Eretz Yisrael. Let's bring Geula by bringing Eretz Yisrael. For the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I want to bring Geula, and the way I do that is by asking myself the question, where can I build? Where do people need me to bring individual redemption to as many Jews as possible? May we be Zocha that through our remembering the past, that both the vision of Tzvi Yehuda and the Lubavitcher Rebbe come together, that all of Klal Yisrael returns, and all of Klal Yisrael is zocha to a full return to the world of Eretz Yisrael. L'shana haba, b'Yerushalayim. Shkoyach, guys, have a great night.